Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here this morning. I think several people are still traveling and on their spring break. We want to remember them in prayer. And glad you're here today. This is a time of year, spring. Time is coming this week. And this is probably to many people, this is a favorite time of the year. I do want to remind you that we have our spring special meetings coming up, that we might be in prayer for these meetings. And let us be in prayer for who we might invite to come to these meetings. They are going to be evangelistic, so we have it's a wonderful opportunity to invite a friend to come and hear the gospel. And so may God lay upon our hearts someone. And let us pray for that person, that we might see them come to these special meetings. So if you would be in prayer with that about that with me, I would appreciate that. So let's bow the Lord in prayer as we begin. Oh God, we thank you that you are our Father, and by faith we are God's family. And we thank you that Christ is our head, and by grace we are Christ's body. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is our anointing, and by His power we live. We thank you for the Bible as your book, and by inspiration we have God's Word. And we ask you to anoint and open our ears to hear God's Word. We ask you to anoint and open our eyes to understand God's Word. And we ask you to anoint and open our hearts to receive God's Word. We ask you to anoint and change our minds that we might follow God's will. We ask you to anoint and use our hands to do God's will. And we ask you to anoint and use our feet to walk in God's will. And we ask you to anoint and speak your message through your servant. We ask you to anoint and help your church, that Christ would build his church to be God-seeking, kingdom-praying, connecting with God, caring for others, committing to missions, consecrating to ministry. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we finish our series on the church, Revelation, the seven churches in Revelation. And so we come to the lukewarm church. Revelation 3:16, Christ said these words, "You are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold." Now remember, these seven churches, that they were literal churches in Asia in John's day, that they also represent the seven periods of church history. So when we come to this last church, this is the predominant church we see in the last times before Christ returns. These seven churches are also types of churches, and they show characteristics of any church. They also show us the different methods of attack by Satan on the church. And so, as we look at these churches, we come to this last church, the church at Laodicea. All these letters went to all seven churches. And kind of interesting, it kind of spells out like a C, reminding of us that Christ is the head of the church. The city of Laodicea, this last city, was known for its banking. Of course, a banking center is a place of great wealth. It was also known for the manufacture of expensive cloth. Now they had, especially famous was a glossy black wool cloth that would be worn. It was a medical school was famous for the development of eye salve, a very famous eye salve that could be put on your eyes. It was located near Hierapolis, where there were hot springs. There's one city nearby. There were hot springs. And then Colossae, which we know the book of Colossians, was also nearby, and it had pure cold water. But Laodicea did not have any good water. And so they would try to bring in water from other cities. Laodicea was probably founded by Epaphras. If you look in your Bibles, please, the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Open your Bibles to Colossians, chapter 4. And we see here in verses 12 and 13, of chapter 4. These words, Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that ye may be stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. So we see Epaphras, who was a prayer warrior, who had such a heart for these people. And more like, probably he was the one who started this church, founded this church. Now, Laodicea Church, of course, represents for us the lukewarm church, the last days. And that reminds us of approximately 1900 to this present time. It's very interesting what each of these city names, what they mean. It gives us insight. Laodicea means people's opinions. Of course, we're living in a day when, with social media, when opinions seem to have such a concern upon people's hearts. It seems like, this day which we live that, everybody wants to check the social media or the opinion polls before they base their beliefs on, but we're not to put our beliefs on changing opinions, but upon the unchangeable Word of God. Everybody has opinion, but that's not what we base our beliefs upon. And yet in the last days, we see that so much of that Laodicean church is based upon opinions. What do you think? What do you think? Someone has said that opinions are like armpits. Everyone has two of them. They both stink. Opinions. But we are based our beliefs upon the Word of God. Now, it's interesting you take note of the first thing. We see how Christ commended these seven churches. But we come to this last church. We see these words, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. Now, Christ is the Amen. It's interesting, this being the last church, he introduces himself with that name, Amen. This is the end. So be it. I believe. Amen also is Hebrew, has the idea of truth. He is the truth. Jesus reminded us that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth to the Father except through me. He speaks also the truth. Christ is the faithful and true witness. He is the ruler of God's creation. Now this means ruler has the idea of the source or the origin of creation. We see in other verses that he was in the beginning. He was in the beginning and he was the creator of all things. All things were made by him. And here he writes to the indifferent, to the complacent, to the comfortable, to the satisfied. Christ is the source of our meaning and purpose. And, when we hear the words of Christ, we might say as in some, can I hear an amen? Do we believe the words of Christ? Are they true? Amen. We believe. So be it. They are true. Now, here, he says about their deeds, I know your deeds. Five times to the five different churches, this phrase we find, I know your deeds. But only the Laodicean church had no deeds that Christ could commend. There was nothing here that he could commend concerning their deeds. So there is no commendation. There is not one word of commendation. Christ could not find one thing on which to commend the church of Laodicea. I wish there was something I could say to commend you, but there is not one word to commend. Now, let me remind you of this. A Christian without Christ is nothing but I-A-N. I-A-N means I am nothing. If you go down the road and you see churches that may have Christian on the outside as their name, but without Christ being the preeminence and the foremost, I am nothing. I am nothing without Christ. What a good reminder that is to us, that Christ must be the center of our lives. If we're to be a Christian, without Him, we are nothing and He is everything. And because this church had put Christ outside, He was not sitting on the throne of the church. He was not sitting in the throne of the lives of these Christians. He was outside. He was outside. And there are so many churches that are involved in politics and so many churches are involved in social issues. That's nothing but the social gospel. There is no gospel of Jesus Christ in so many churches today. He is on the outside. And so there was no word of commendation that He could give to this church. But yes, there was condemnation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But do you not realize? Do you not realize that you are in need? Do you not realize the needs that you have, that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked? These are the words that Christ gave to this church at Laodicea. I wish you were hot or cold. Really? Why? To be hot is to be on fire for Christ. To be hot is to care about Christ and to put Him on the throne of your heart, that He is first place in our lives. This is, of course, famous for the month of March for madness, March Madness. You know what March Madness is? People are crazy about basketball tournament. Crazy about basketball. That's called March Madness. You ever heard that term? You know, we can get excited. We can stand up and cheer for our basketball team. And yet when it comes to things of God, our hearts are not moved. And those who reject Christ, of course, are the cold. They put Christ outside of their lives. And then those in between, the lukewarm, are the pretenders. Pretending. But they're just pretending. You know what Christ said about this? I would spew you out of my mouth. You know, the word there, spew you out of my mouth, is really stronger than that. The word really has the idea, I would vomit you out of my mouth. To look at those who don't care, who are indifferent, these are the words of Christ, I would vomit you out of my mouth. I remember growing up as a parent, and I should say my children growing up, but you know, parents grow up too. But as a parent, children would get sick and you rush in there to help them and they get sick and they throw up, they vomit, and you kind of have to grab your stomach so you don't lose your stomach too. And this is what Christ thinks of this church. So what can we learn from this? First of all, they are sick. You know, when you are lukewarm in the Christian life, there are three spiritual temperatures. First is a burning heart on fire for God. Look at Luke chapter 24 in your New Testament, Luke chapter 24. Here, the risen Christ appeared to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And as He appeared to them, He began to speak to them about what was happening, and they were sorrowful, not understanding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they began to be sorrowful. And the Lord opened to their... He began to speak to them about the Old Testament, all that was found in the Scripture concerning Him. And in verse 32, we see these words here. Luke 24, verse 32. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when He talked with us on the road and He opened the Scriptures to us?" Did not our hearts burn? You know, when you read the Word of God and God speaks to your heart begins to burn. And your love for Christ is on fire. Romans 12 and verse, look at Romans 12 and verse 11. We see this idea again, Romans 12:11. It says here, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never let your temperature go low. Keep on fire for Christ. Keep the fire burning." And in fervor, spiritual fervor and fire, serving the Lord. How do you keep that fire burning? You keep the coals hot. The Word of God, as we keep in the Word of God and we keep in prayer, we stir up the fire of our hearts. If you're not careful, your fire can grow cold. Being around other Christians who are fervent and zealous for God also stirs the fire of your heart, making yourself accountable to others. Whereas if you have those you're close to, or maybe not those who are fervent, maybe you're close to those who are cold, and it causes your heart to grow cold. And we see in what is a cold heart, Matthew chapter 25. Look at Matthew chapter 25 and Matthew 24 verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." We're living in a day of wickedness around us. And because of that increase in wickedness, if we don't keep our hearts close to the fire, close to God and close to Jesus Christ, our hearts can grow cold. Sin can cause our hearts to grow cold. And then a lukewarm heart. The lukewarm Christian is comfortable, complacent, and doesn't realize its need, the need that the Christian has. You know, both the cold water from Colossae and the hot water from Hierapolis, by the time it would get there to Laodicea, it would be lukewarm. It would be lukewarm. Now, we enjoy a beverage that is either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Remember the movie of that? I think you remember the story of the prayer that she served her friend a cup of tea and it was lukewarm and she spit it out of her mouth. So Christ is about to vomit them out of His mouth. He wants us to be hot for Him and not to let our hearts grow cold. And number two, that they are deceived. Self-deception. All deception is evil. But probably the most devastating deception is self-deception. Thinking that everything is okay. We're deceiving ourselves. Look at the description here of Laodicea. "You say, 'I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. I have everything I need.' But material abundance is not conducive to spiritual vitality." Our life is not measured by what we have. We can take nothing with us into eternity, but only that which is our hearts on fervor, our fire for Christ. Notice Christ's description here. But you do not realize that you are wretched, you're miserable, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind and naked. In other words, that they were unhappy, they were spiritually poor, spiritually blind, spiritually naked. Look at Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to consider these words here that Christ said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 to 23. These are some of the saddest words to ever hear. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me on that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Turn away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. And that's what Christ is saying to this church of Laodicea. You have grown so cold, so indifferent. I don't know you. And what a reminder to us. The words here, he also gives a counsel to this church. I counsel you to buy from me gold, refined in the fire. You know, when you take gold, it has its impurities. You put it through the fire, it burns off the impurities and leaves pure gold. And sometimes that's what we need to go through, some difficulties. It burns off our impurities. We may wonder, why are we going through this difficult time? Why is this so difficult? Those times are when they burn off the impurities, that we might have a life that is pure gold, so that you can become rich spiritually, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest. Be fervent and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. See, this church had no sense of need. Whether it be a church or individual Christian, we need to be sensitive to our spiritual needs and not be complacent. So what was the counsel the Lord gave to him? Christ gave him this counsel. First of all, there is a need for suffering. There is a need for difficulties. They needed to buy the gold refined in the fire. They were too comfortable. They needed the fire of trials. And 1 Peter reminds us this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith. When we go through these difficulties, it proves how genuine, how real your faith is, how real my faith is. It's of greater worth than gold, which perisheth, even though refined by fire, may result in the praise and glory and honor which Christ Jesus is revealed. So as that those impurities are burned off, it reveals the pure things that Christ wants in our lives. They had also a need for clothing. Laodicea was famous for his clothing, his textiles. But spiritually they were naked. They needed to be clothed in white clothes of righteousness to cover their shameful sins of nakedness. The white robe of righteousness is, of course, Jesus Christ. they were famous for their shiny black wool. Very famous, Laodicea's wool. Shiny black. But they needed the white robe of righteousness. They needed Jesus Christ to be clothed in Him. There is a need for clothing. I'm reminded of the story of the emperor without clothes. A book often read, The Children. And some people had convinced him that they made this special robe for the emperor. And they had sewn this special robe, and it was so beautiful, and they gave it to him to put on. And the emperor put on this special robe. You remember the story? Well, they had deceived him. It was nothing. So he put on this special robe and marched down the streets. And everybody was told about this special robe, so they all thought they had to say, wow, how wonderful the king is. And then finally a child speaks up and starts laughing and pointing at him, look, the emperor's naked. Let us not be deceived by ourselves or by others. If we don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness, and we're told to put on the armor of God, put on Jesus Christ every day, be clothed in that armor, be clothed in Jesus Christ. We have need of clothing. There's also the need for seeing. They needed to have the salve for the sore eyes to see again. They needed to have spiritual vision. Laodicea was very famous for this medicine. The Laodicean salve. You put on your eyes, it would help your eyes to see. And yet spiritually, they had no vision. They could not see the glory of God. They could not see, Proverbs reminds us, without revelation, without God's Word, there is no vision. We keep our spiritual vision by getting into God's Word to give us a spiritual vision. And then also, 2 Peter reminds us of this. 2 Peter, look with me at 2 Peter 1, starting at verse 5 here. 2 Peter 1, 5. For this very reason, makes every effort to add to your faith. Here are things that you need to... your faith needs to be added to make it pure goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and the mutual affection love, like the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit needs to be part of our lives. And if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is what? It says here, they're nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. When we allow God's Spirit to work in our hearts, we allow God's Word to do a work in our hearts, it helps us to see that we might not be nearsighted. All we can see is ourself, nearsighted. I can only see my problems, my needs, and I don't look out at others. I don't see others. I only see myself. Or we become blind. And so we're warned here not to let this happen. And they were famous for their eye salve. But spiritually speaking, we need to let the Spirit of God open our eyes. And then the other counsel, they had need for explanation. Christ loved the believers here, even though their love for Him had grown cold. And He planned to chasten them as proof of His love. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He disciplines us. That's a sign of His love. He disciplines us. So explaining to them that this is for their good, disciplining up. Children don't naturally do that which is right. They have to be disciplined out of love. God disciplines us out of love. And then there is a need for this exhortation, encouraging them Be zealous. Have a heart on fire for God and repent. Turn away from your indifference. They had to repent of their pride and humble themselves before the Lord. And so he gave him this counsel, and also, very important thing, the need for an invitation. God's invitation to human beings to come and to buy what they need without money, without costs. Isaiah 55 talks about that. Our salvation is not purchased through human efforts. It has been purchased for us by the blood, the death of Christ, the blood of Christ on the cross. And we need to humble ourselves, come in the name of the Lord, and believe in Him. Now here, Christ was outside the Laodicean church, and He spoke to the individual, if any man. Now this is a message to churches and to individuals. All right? Yes. The Laodicean church had put Christ outside the door. Christianity without Christ. But Christians can also do that individually. So he says, if any man, so he appeals to the individual. Christ is standing at the door of our hearts and he's knocking. He's knocking. Will we hear him? Will we let him come in? You might ask, well, how does Christ knock on the door? Through His Word. Now, we must hear God's Word to be saved. We must hear God's Word and obey it to grow. God knocks at our heart's door through His Word. Through His people. How can you hear without someone preaching to them? Romans 10:14. God uses preachers and witnesses of people to stir up our hearts. Through His Spirit, He sent the Holy Spirit to convict the heart of man of sin and righteousness and judgment. And through His providence, through God's grace, think about how God has been gracious to you. And may the grace of God touch our hearts. I don't deserve that. And through His Word and His people and His Spirit, His grace, knocking at the heart of your door, of your heart, will we not open that door? Will we not invite Him to come in? Now it says here the challenge that Christ gave to them. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. As each church, seven times we see this expression, hear what the Holy Spirit says. Hear. Don't be dull of hearing. Let us open our ears. Let us open our hearts. Let us open our hands and our feet that we'll receive what God's Spirit would say to us. And then He challenges us to be victorious. The victorious are the overcomers. As born-again believers, we are to be victorious. And in this age of apostasy, we're living in the last days, where many are turning away from the faith because they did not accept the faith. They were pretenders. There is deadness, there is indifference that will increase. Luke 18:8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? It's like in the days of Noah. Will He find faith on the earth? And the victorious will sit with Christ on His throne. That we will, in the millennial reign, that we will reign with Christ is what the Scriptures teach us. And that Christ was victorious. And because He was victorious, we as His followers should be victorious. And Christ sat down with His Father on His throne. Now, the letters to the seven churches are like God's x-rays. You know, you fall, you hurt, and you're not sure what happened. You go get an x-ray, or you get a, MRI or whatever it might be to see what's inside. And so here these letters to the churches are x-rays. God's opening up what's inside. Given to us that we might examine our own lives and the life of the church. And judgment is going to come to this world, yes. But first, it has to begin at God's house. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. The end of all things is near. The end of the world is near. The end of Christ is coming soon. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind that you might pray. And in verse 17, go down to verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So the Lord is speaking to us. And may the Lord help us in these letters to be encouragement as well as a rebuke. May the Lord help us to hear what the Spirit is saying today to the church and to the individuals in the churches. That's a very famous painting. I don't know, maybe you've seen this painting before. This is a painting by Holman Hunt. His painting of Christ knocking at the heart's door. Now notice carefully at this painting. Hunt did not include a door latch, indicating that the only way that door that represented their hearts could be opened was from within inside. You see, Christ is knocking at the door of our hearts. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to be on the throne. But we have to invite Him to do that. Lord, I want You to receive You as my Savior. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I want my heart to be fire. I want to care about You and the things of God. And the Lord says that when He comes in, He will eat with us. That is fellowship. You sit down and eat with a friend. You sit down in fellowship. And that is the invitation that we have. I also want to encourage us with this evangelistic service coming up the last Saturday of the month, March 25th, from 8 to 9 a.m. Pastor Doug Brown is going to come and share with us how to share your testimony. People say, I don't know how to give the gospel. I don't know how to speak to someone. Well, this is a good starting point. How do you share your testimony? And he's going to share with us, he's spoken many different places about this. And he's going to give us an opportunity to practice and learning how to share your testimony. A good preparation for our special meetings coming up March 31st. To April 2nd. That should be April 2nd. So let's be in prayer. Let's prepare our hearts. Learn how to give our testimony. Learn how to share the gospel. And encourage one another that the fervency of Christ may be a part of our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for the message that You gave to these seven churches, each of them. It's like You're opening up our hearts and x-raying our hearts and looking at what's inside. Is it genuine? Is it real? Father, I pray that as we look at this church of Laodicea, Lord, it's so easy to allow our hearts to grow cold, to become indifferent, to not care, to have apathy. Father, may You stir up our hearts. May You rekindle the fire within. May Your Spirit and the Word of God speak to our hearts, and each day speak to our hearts, revive our hearts, kindle our hearts, set our hearts on fire, Lord. I pray. Lord, we are in need. And may we see our need today. May we not be like the Laodicean church and think that I am rich and I have many things, but we are naked. We are poor. Our eyes do not see what we need to see. Lord, I pray that You would stir within us. Spirit of God, speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.